The following podcast contains content of a sexual nature. Discretion is advised. E-Radio. Welcome back to Ask Nikki right here on E-Radio, Wednesday evenings at 10 o'clock. And Nikki is, of course, a professional sex coach, joining us for some tips and advice. Nikki, good evening to you.
Hi, good evening, Ian. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for joining us. Now, this week we are talking about bridging the orgasm gap. Can you explain this orgasm gap to us, please, Nikki, and why it exists between men and women?
Okay, thanks. Yes, this is such an important question, because women are having fewer orgasms than men when they are having partnered sexual encounters. And that is what the orgasm gap is. So there are different surveys of straight women, but the statistics vary, but they have found that whilst approximately 95% of men orgasm most or every time they have sex, only about 57% of women orgasm most or every time they have sex with a partner. And that's quite a massive difference. Well, that most men orgasm consistently while having sex, and only just over half of women orgasm consistently. So there is a large gap between the number of men having orgasms and the number of women having orgasms. And this is what's really interesting, Ian, is that this gap is only found in heterosexual couples. Now, I don't want to put pressure on people to have orgasms, because that's a very different conversation, but it is the pinnacle of a sexual experience. And if half of the population is having fewer orgasms than the other half of the population, then we have to wonder why. And that's kind of why this is such an important topic, because mutual satisfaction should be very important in partnered sex. And yet it seems that women are having so many less orgasms than men. And basically, kind of, I think what's holding us back is we need to normalize pleasure. Why is it that women are okay that they don't have orgasms? We need to close these societal inequities that are creating that gap. It's quite an interesting thing. They did a study on with bisexual women on how many times they orgasmed with first-time hookup sex. And when it was with a woman, they orgasmed 68% of the time. And when it was with a man, they orgasmed 7% of the time. That is the same person in the same body.
Wow.
How's that?
Wow, that's shocking.
So what is this disparity and why? And the disparity is due to a cultural or a clitoral problem. It's not a problem with women's bodies. So we assume that sex equals penetration. Those of you will remember Bill Clinton. And the problem is that not everyone orgasms with penetration alone. So the narrow definition of sex is completely limiting, and it privileges male pleasure. So it's kind of, I know we were speaking last week, foreplay is used as a lead up to the main event, the word foreplay. And the main event is penetration, and that's what we call sex. When in fact, the truth is that most women do not orgasm from penetration alone, in spite of every sex scene that you've ever seen depicted in movies or porn. I think this is something that a lot of people, they'll come to see me, they don't know. Women think, oh my goodness, I'm broken, I can't orgasm with penetration alone. I say, well, guess what? 80% of women cannot orgasm through penetration alone. So that means that if you are someone who's lucky enough to be able to orgasm through penetration, then you are actually in the minority. And in fact, only 4% of women say that penetration is their most reliable route to orgasm. So 96% of us, I know I'm throwing stats at you here, but 96% of us women say we need external stimulation, either alone or coupled with penetration, to experience orgasm.
Wow.
And yeah, Isn't that unbelievable?
Yeah.
And, you know, it's also got nothing to do. It's actually that they're not quite sure, but it seems now that the further a person's clitoris is from their vagina, the tip of the clitoris, the more difficult it will be for her to orgasm through penetrative sex. And that is thought because, and the reason why they say that is that they think that people who can have orgasms through penetrative sex, it's really through stimulation of the clitoris from the inside anyway. So it's kind of, that's why those women are lucky enough to be able to do that. So I think there's been an overvaluing of intercourse and a devaluing of clitoral stimulation forever. I think it goes back to procreation. Men had to ejaculate. Well, men have to ejaculate in order to be able to procreate. And then we've got Sigmund Freud, who said that clitoral orgasms were immature and vaginal orgasms were mature, which is completely ridiculous. So there's been a long history of devaluing women's sexual pleasure. And even when we talk, cultural prioritizing of that of the act that will most likely lead the man to orgasm is what we're focusing on. So we use the word sex and intercourse interchangeably. That's always been the case. We call everything before intercourse foreplay, when in fact foreplay, as I said before, is not a suggestion. It's a requirement. And in fact, probably we should call intercourse foreplay and everything after that post-play or something, something we can think about. Mm. We even call our genitals a vagina, like we were discussing before, whereas the vagina is actually only the canal where the penises go in and the babies come out. The rest is the vulva. And I know I talked about that before, but it's the inner lips and the clitoris and the mons pubis, which is that fatty area above the genitals. And those are the parts that are chock full of sensitive nerve endings for women. And the touching the vulva is what brings most women to orgasm. We're not taught this in sex education. In fact, we call all our entire genitals a vagina, and but so doing, we actually linguistically erase the parts of ourselves that give us the most pleasure. And we should be teaching our children, both our boy children and girl children, that the woman's seat of her pleasure is the clitoris and the vulva, which is the whole area. And we don't do that. We don't name it. We don't name our clitoris. We have lots of nicknames for the penis, but we have no nicknames for the clitoris, which tells you something, doesn't it? And also women, we don't look at ourselves. We have shame. I often say to a woman, would you be able to pick out your vulva in a lineup? They usually will not be able to do so. When you ask a man that question, and I can tell you they would all know what their penis looks like. Men are very close to their penises, and yet we need to make our clitoris our best friend. So, and that's something that we don't do. When we talk about the orgasm gap, it's obviously the largest in first-time hookup sex. And it gets smaller with relationship sex or friends with benefit sex. And obviously what I've discussed, you'll understand why, because hopefully the partner gets to know the woman's body better and will be able to tell how to stimulate her more. But still, it's still there, the orgasm gap. And this is a weird thing. You would not believe this. But when we masturbate, a whopping 95% of us orgasm. That says that the female orgasm is not elusive. We are able to orgasm. Somehow, when we get into partnered sex, we're not able to translate what we know about ourselves to orgasm into a partnered sexual encounter. And I think that's also where we talk about communication. Again, we need to communicate. This is how we like to be touched. This is where we need to be touched in order for us to become aroused and to be able to orgasm. So that goes back to what we've discussed in previous episodes.
Nikki, what are some techniques that couples can use to prioritize clitoral pleasure during sexual activity?
Okay, so that's a great question. I think the thing is, obviously, touch. First of all, remember how we were discussing about erotic zones. First of all, everything is working towards pleasure and getting that person aroused before you even go towards the actual vulva. And then when you do get to the vulva, you need to learn, what does that vulva like? Does that, what kind of pressure, what kind of stroke variation? It's very important because, as I've said before, every vulva is different. Everyone has its own personality, and sometimes they're a mystery even to ourselves. So we need to get to know them so we can share what turns us on. And I think here it's about using, if you ask me for one piece of advice, I'd say softer and lighter. Because clitoris is a lot more sensitive than a penis. It actually has over 8,000 nerve endings. The penis only has 4,000.
Wow.
And you know, it's the only body part that is there purely for pleasure, which is amazing. So if we know our own clitoris is better, we can do better and share it with our partners. So how do we get to know the clitoris better? Obviously, that's communication, knowing it yourself. Mutual masturbation is a great way to get to know your partner because it's the ultimate teaching moment. So you can kind of show your partner what you like and how you like to be touched, and they can learn how you like to be stimulated. But for my personal favorite is toys. Toys are essential for vulva owners as far as I'm concerned. The benefit of these toys is that their vibrations reach deeper, more internal nerve endings than your hands or your mouth or your genitals ever can. And like we were discussing before about what the clitoris looks like, what you see of the clitoris is literally the tip of the clitoral iceberg. So when you use a toy, you can stimulate the nerve endings that you are neglecting and can literally not reach without a toy. They now have, the toys are so advanced. They have toys that don't only vibrate, but that suck. And they work on sonic waves. So your hands and your mouth and genitals cannot actually do what certain toys can do. And I find often women are uncomfortable about introducing vibrators into the bedrooms because they fear they'll insult the man or make the man feel less than. When I find actually men really enjoy using sex toys on their partners and love watching their partners use sex toys on themselves. And remember, orgasms come much easier with a vibrator. And it's a little bit like saying that it's like using a calculator instead of just doing arithmetic in your head. And I think that's kind of where I wanted to talk about the other gap that I never actually mentioned in that orgasm gap, which is the time it takes for a man to orgasm and a woman to orgasm. So the average man takes between 3 and 6 minutes of thrusting to orgasm, whereas a woman takes anything between 10 and 40 minutes. So there's a massive time gap. I know, that's huge.
Wow.
And so that's now you can see why a woman requires more to get her going. And that's where vibrators are so effective, toys are so effective, because they help to decrease that time gap between men and women. And sometimes, you know, a lot of people say, oh, I'm too tired for sex. I'm not in the mood for sex. Toys really speed things up. It's like using a computer, you know, as opposed to an old typewriter. And you never have to worry, because I've never known anyone leave their partner for a vibrator. A vibrator just enhances the experience. It's a tool to enhance the experience. It doesn't replace a person. Yeah. So like I always use the example, you know, if you spent, because I've had people say to me, oh, no, it's not natural. It's not. I'm like, you know, more is more. It's more of more sensations, create more variety, create more novelty. And those all enhance the sexual experience. And if you spent a day with your partner on a lilo in and out of the pool, and you were swimming and you were climbing on the lilo and getting off the lilo and play fighting, you'd say, we had the best day in the pool with a lilo. You aren't going to say, I had the best day with a lilo. You know, you had the best day with your partner.
Yes.
So it just is enhances that experience. And guess what? You can also use a vibrator on a man. It really can also be fun for them to use on the penis or the balls or under the balls, which is the perineum, which can be amazing for certain men because men can have orgasms that way, certain men, if you're lucky enough. So using toys on each other adds novelty to the sexual experience. And remember, novelty is what is hot. There are just so many ways that you can explore with each other, using toys to add the novelty, have more fun together, and truncate that time between a man's that it takes for a man to orgasm and a woman to orgasm. And I think it also takes the pressure off a man because the man doesn't then have to feel like he has to last so long and thrust so hard. Because I get a lot of men who have erectile dysfunction, or it is so, so common, especially in today's day and age with the pressures. But if you know that a seat of a woman's pleasure is not her vagina, but the whole vulva, you can focus on pleasuring that, and you can take the focus off having to thrust harder and faster, and you know, have a hard penis all the time. And you can also enjoy and relax and enjoy the experience.
Yeah, exactly. And also that pressure on the man, you know, to stay hard all the time and to perform all the time. You can only do so much, you know, before I think that pressure is not good for you. That stress, that pressure to perform, that actually leads to erectile dysfunction because your head's not really in it anymore.
Absolutely. If we take the focus off penetrative sex, it benefits both the man and the woman because the man doesn't feel that pressure that he needs to perform all the time. And the woman actually can really enjoy receiving pleasure where she feels the most pleasure.
Mm-hmm. So once again, communication so important, and couples need to make time to talk about this, you know?
Yes. Yeah, absolutely.
And take that pressure off.
Agreed.
Nikki, thank you so much once again for your great advice. We really appreciate your time. How can we get in touch with you?
Thanks, Ian. Love talking to you. Please contact me on ask.nikki, N-I-C-K-I, on Instagram or any of the other social platforms. My brand is Ask Nikki, so you can also Google me. And yeah, I put on different events, workshops, talks, and I'd love to see you or hear from you.
Nikki, thank you so much.
Thank you. Thanks, Ian.
And that's another Ask Nikki for another week. Next week, revamp your sex life, keeping passion alive in long-term relationships. You can hear it here first, Wednesday evening at 10 o'clock next week.